Father Yahweh, thank you for everything that we've talked about earlier in our praise reports here tonight. We ask for your continued hand on our lives as you have your hand in all of our lives here on this planet. Whether or not the folks will admit it, we know that through the blood of your son Yeshua and through your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, we have the grace of his salvation so that we will have that fellowship with you, so that we can have that personal relationship with you, and so that we can share that relationship with others and how to get that relationship through your gospel. And we ask this in Yeshua's precious name.
Mm, thank you. Yes, the Lord created a temple in each of our bodies. And who lives there? That's the question. If the Lord created that temple, he created it with the idea, his idea was for that Holy Spirit to abide in you, to abide in me. And that is the secret. That's my secret. And I've got a blessed life. I've had trials and tribulations, but nothing that was too severe that the Holy Spirit couldn't handle. So I let him handle it. Let the Holy Spirit handle it. The power of the Holy, of Yahweh and Yeshua. Now tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit more about our purpose here on earth. Why did the Lord create us? Why did he allow us to face all of these things in this world? I think a lot of people would suggest, and I've heard that from a lot of people that I talk to and a lot of people that I read, a lot of even the theologians would say that the Lord created us for his pleasure. He wanted communion. He wants to be involved in each one of our lives. There's no question about it. And he has got the right. He's sovereign. He is the Lord Almighty, Elohim, the Sacred One. And he wants us to follow his directives. He wants us to stay in his will. All we have to do is give up that selfish ego. And give up that idea that we're in control and that whatever we do is right. And I have the abilities and I have the right, I have the sanction to do whatever I please. And that's what the agnostics say. You know, the agnostics say, oh yeah, we're little gods. That's a bunch of baloney, isn't it? I think you guys will agree. Give me a... Anyways. I suggest that we should concentrate on exhorting one another. When I say exhorting, I'm talking about encouraging. I'm talking about getting involved with other people. And that is one of the reasons that we have had this preliminary time of praise and worship, letting people know how we feel and how everybody else feels and what is going on in your life. The Lord wants to be involved with every little thing. I don't care whether it's your job. Some have jobs that are... They are, I would say, sometimes excruciating. They're sometimes abusive. Some of these jobs are above and beyond what a human can handle. So, that's why there is so much division. That's why there is so much of these folks that become so depressed and distressed. And then, of course, like Leah was talking about, in some of these situations with families that are that have these challenges, they just can't get together. They can't stay together. And they, if they don't have the Lord, if they are not, they haven't committed, if they haven't been, if they haven't dedicated their life, and they haven't plugged in to that power. I'm talking about the power. If you didn't have the power, you wouldn't be able to handle your job. And that's why there's a lot of people that can't handle their jobs. And that's just a small part of it. But anyways, I want you to think about what the Lord has called you, each one of you, to do. Has he called you? Have you heard? In one respect or another, it doesn't have to be audible, but it can be. It can be through the written word, from hearing, whether it be something that you hear wherever it might be. But he has called us all, and he will continue to call us until we until we make a commitment. Now, I've been talking about in the past a few sermons that I've given, or messages, whatever you want to call, about a new purpose in life. A while back, we talked about a change in each one of us. We'll go through several changes in life. We go through seasons. You know, just like the season of the weather. But the seasons in our lives are changes, and they depend upon what is happening in the world and what is happening with your job or with your family. That's a big part of it. And with your friends and with people that you associate with. Now, Mark, would you look up Jeremiah 29? Jeremiah 29:11. That was the basis of my message just a few weeks ago. You can all take a look at it, but Mark, would you read it? Starting with 29:11, maybe it could go even 10. I'm not sure. I haven't got it right in front of me.
Let me start with 10.
Yes.
Jeremiah 29:10 out of the New English Translation, the NET. For the Lord says, only when the 70 years of Babylonian rule are over will I again take up consideration for you. Then I will fulfill my gracious promise to you and restore you to your homeland. For I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope. When you call out to me and come to me in prayer, I will hear your prayers. When you seek me in prayer and worship, you will find me available to you. If you seek me with all your heart and soul, I will make myself available to you, says the Lord. Then I will reverse your plight, and will regather you from all the nations and all the places where I have exiled you, says the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from which I exiled you.
So that
was through 14.
Yes. Through 14.
10 through 14.
That's a wonderful scripture, isn't it? You can look, and that's just one of the several we'll look at this evening, but the thing about it is, we're all going to go through changes. And they're not going to have to be, they don't have to be a negative change. They don't have to be something that is going to take us down the wrong road or that's going to make us regress. When I say regress, that means to go back and do something that we don't want to do or something, well, I have to qualify that. When I say something we don't want to do, that's something that we are going to face. We're going to have to face and make the decision if the things that we want to do are the right thing, according to the Lord. We're given instruction. This is our instruction book. This Bible is going to tell us exactly what we should be doing, when we should do it, how we should do it. It's got stories and examples of all these patriarchs and all these people that we've got to follow. And that's the reason it's there. And let me just give you an idea. Men's lives took, and I'm going to refer to a few different situations, a few men here, took an unexpected change of direction. That's what it's all about. Sometimes we get on this detour, or we get on a one-way road, and we're going the wrong way. We're literally going the wrong way, and we're going down into a, well, we've all got gone off the road on a little trip or something, or we're trying to find something, and we go down the wrong road. Well, what do we have to do? We don't just continue going down the wrong road, wrong road, wrong road. We've got to make a change. We got to turn around. Now, let me give you some references. You can write it down. Genesis 32. In Genesis, the book of Genesis 32, we're talking about Jacob, who wrestled with the angel of the Lord. Then we have in Exodus chapter 3, we've got Moses. What was he doing? He's talking to a burning bush. But he's listening. And Jacob was listening and willing. And then the greatest example of a person that changed his ways and made an 180 degree, and made such a big change, and it became one of the Lord's primary spokesman, Paul, the Apostle Paul. What happened to him? He was temporarily blinded. Remember? But then what happened? The Lord removed his scales. That's in Acts. Read Acts 9, chapter 9. Now, we're all going to experience circumstances that will change the course of our life. We'll go through those. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. We're challenged. Sometimes, like John said, older people don't like change. We're sort of in a rut. We get in a rut, and we got something that's really good, and we say, hey, that's the way it's going to be. That's the way I'm going to go, and I don't care what happens. But wait a minute. You got to listen to the Lord. You listen to the Holy Spirit. That guy's that power and that comforter, the Holy Spirit. He's our director. He should be directing our life. God loves us before. Remember, God loved us before we loved Him. He wants to give us hope. We're talking about joy and hope. It's a good thing. I try, and I have in the last, I don't know, my wife could probably tell you more than I could tell you. If I'm joyful, or if I have an attitude of gratitude, if I have an attitude of enjoying life, you know, you can get stuck in a rut, like I said, and you can get some of our habits and some of the things that we do can direct us into the pit. I mean, you know, we get into these, and then we have a pity party, and we stop thinking, oh my gosh, well, look what the Lord has allowed to happen, and look what the, oh man, what am I going to do, and all this kind of stuff. Well, remember, the Lord wants to give us hope and a beautiful future. He said, and John, would you look up 1 John, that's in the back, way in the back there of your New Testament, 1 John chapter 4. I'd like you to look up 1 John chapter 4, 19. And Leah, would you look up 1 Peter 5? He said in these two instances about casting your cares and worries on me, because I care about you and I will solve these problems for you. Did you find 1 John back there, buddy? First John. Way in the back. Yeah, it's back here. Oh. Yeah, way beyond. Yeah, 1 John. Anyways. The thing about... go ahead, Leah. Did you find 1 Peter 5, 7? What does that read?
5:7. I'm gonna read 6 because it goes with it.
Okay.
Humble
yes.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yahweh, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your anxiety upon Him, because He cares for you.
That's right. Casting your anxieties. We're all gonna have anxieties. We do. We have them. We're gonna be challenged. But you know, we don't have to worry about flesh and blood, do we? Flesh and blood's not gonna hurt us. It's in the Word. We have to watch out for these spirits of the these spirits in the air, and these evil spirits and Satan's little demons and all this kind of stuff that are always, they're going to continue to attack us, but so what? We've got a barricade. We've got a fortress. Yes, exactly, Lana. Did you find that? Yeah, repeat that.
Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world.
Yeah, because this whole world is perverted, it's corrupted, it's, you know, it's polluted, it's controlled by Satan. We know the new kingdom. We're looking forward to the new kingdom. And that's going to be a spiritual, wonderful place. What did you find in 1 John 4?
Yes.
19, right around the 19 there.
19?
Yeah.
We love Him because He first loved us. If a man says, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he has loveth not his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen?
That's right. So you see, we don't have. That's a reason that we have love, and love is the thing that really, you know, the old music says love makes the world go around, and I tell you, you know, all of us are familiar with music. And we've all had our little experiences with music. Music is a wonderful thing. I've got my little grandson just going now, 5-year-old. He's going to a music class. And they're just learning a little bit about rhythm and this, you know, the basics of music. But, you know, music is something that the Lord loves. And He says, sing a new song to me. You'll find all kinds of references to singing and praise. The Psalms were sung back in the day, and so that's an important part of life. But not only love, but I'm talking about here a concept about that revolves around the Lord's grace and mercy. Yes.
At the beginning, you said that it's in Scripture that God created us for His pleasure, and I wanted to let everybody write down, mm-hmm. of all places, Revelation 4:1-1.
Okay.
Now, we all know to dial 411 for information, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Revelation is the revelation of Yeshua, so oddly enough, in Revelation 4:11 is where it says, mm-hmm. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive. This is the elders that are singing at the throne of God in the millennium time.
Yes.
And they're saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, for Thy pleasure they are and were created.
Praise God.
Says, right there is, that's why we were. He created
That's
us because
it.
He loves us and because mm-hmm. he wanted us to be here.
Yes.
To be in fellowship with Him. So anyway, just
grace and mercy. Just think what He has done for us. Just think of that gift of grace and mercy. Now, He wants us to turn around and give that same grace to others. That's what we're talking about here. We should treat others like He treats us. You know, I might say that we're all good at receiving this kind of thing. Everybody likes to get a slap on the back. Everybody likes to get a compliment. Everybody likes to say, have somebody tell you, oh, you're doing a good job, and I just think that... you know, I wish I could be more like you. Well, we want to be imitators of Jesus, of Yeshua, don't we? That's the whole thing. That's what our purpose is here. And we want to make things happy and joyful for others. Anybody that we come in contact with, whether it's our spouse, whether it's our family, whether it's our neighbor, whoever it might be. And it says, even loving our enemies, if we have any. If we have any, I don't know. I don't have any real enemies. Now, we got to be careful about that. I want to read something concerning that. You know, this grace and mercy, well, of course, grace is what? Is it free, unmerited favor? Is that what they call it?
That's one of the aspects, but I wouldn't limit it to that.
No, but that's part of, that's a, mm-hmm. that, yeah, I know it. And that's why, it's a big thing. Mm-hmm. You could go on forever. I could talk for a month on grace and mercy. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
You could. You could have a running series, you know, of expositions, of sermons, of messages, of discussions about grace and mercy, because it is so big. Mark, would you look up Hebrews 4:16? And in the meantime, while he's looking up that, I want to read something from a book by Philip Yancey. He's a very popular Christian writer. I really haven't read his stuff, but this book is called The Jesus I Never Knew. Now, this guy has written a whole bunch of books. And, you know, people always say, oh, my gosh, this guy is fantastic. Billy Graham says, there's no writer in the evangelical world that I admire and appreciate more. There's James Packer out of Regent College. There's Robert Hestinus out of the Eastern College. There's Dale Hansen. There's Elisa Morgan. Lewis Smits out of Fuller Seminary. Virginia Owens out of Kansas. Newman. Joni Erickson, the lady that draws at her Christmas cards with her pen in her mouth, she says, when we look hard into God's Word, we always learn something new about Jesus. She says, thanks, Philip, for pointing the way in your new book. This is an interesting little book. Sometimes I'm a little disappointed in the fact that this man doesn't have the way I read it, he's still searching, and that's not good. You can be searching forever, but the problem is you don't recognize what you're looking for. Sometimes people get on a quest, and they get so intellectual, they get so involved in semantics and in theology that they really just are not, they don't have that close relationship with the Holy Spirit. They don't allow the Holy Spirit to tell them what's going on. But anyways, here, we're talking about this grace and mercy. And it says, he's got some good things in here. He says, why should we love our enemies? Because our Father causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good. Why be perfect? Because God is perfect. Why store up treasures in heaven? Because the Father lives there and will lavishly reward us. Why live without fear and worry? Because of the same God who clothes the lilies on the grass of the field has promised to take care of us. Why pray? If an earthly father gives his son bread or fish, how much more will our Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? We've got to ask him. We've got to ask him. He wants us to ask him. Jesus, we're talking on the Sermon on the Mount here, he gave it to impart to us God's ideal towards which we should never stop striving, but also to show that none of us will ever reach that ideal in this earth. Now, it's a journey. There's no doubt about it. But it's going to be, and it could be soon. The way this world is going, I'm just surprised that the Lord has tolerated what He tolerates. But you see, He's different than we are. He's above everything, isn't He? He's got the finite mind. He knows exactly. He's got the plan. We never can doubt Him. What other scripture did I give? Did Hebrews?
I'm in Hebrews 4 right now.
Yeah, well,
And you asked me to read 16, and I've got the Aramaic English New Testament.
Okay.
And it reads really well all the way back to 14. So I'm going to back up a couple verses just to kind of set the stage a little bit. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, Yeshua the Mashiach, the son of Elohim, who has ascended to heaven, let us persevere in professing him. So we're supposed to go out and tell everybody about him.
Yes, yes.
For we have not a high priest who cannot sympathize with our sickness, but one who was tempted in all respects like us, apart from sin. Let us therefore approach with confidence to the throne of his grace, that we may obtain mercy and may find grace or assistance in the time of affliction.
That's it, guys. It's promises. It's the promise that we are going to grasp, we're going to get a hold of it, and we're going to hold on to it. If we let it go, and if we start backsliding, or if we make a decision to go a different way and to ignore this word, you know we're going to be in trouble. Mm-hmm. It's simple. You can see it every day. You look around to the people that you associate with, and you can tell the ones that are following the Lord's will and the ones that aren't. I mean, it's a simple thing. I can give you several. We talk about this grace and mercy. If you want to look up several, there's Romans has a whole section on it, guys. Romans 3:24. Romans 4:16. Lila, would you look up Romans 5:2? Romans 6:1. Romans 6:14. When you look up a word study for grace and mercy, I mean, you can just go on and on and on, and it goes throughout. It permeates the entire New Testament. It's beautiful. Now, because of time restraints, I want to go on with that theme of my suggestion about exhorting one another. And here is what I have here. Hebrews 3:13. You can all... I'll read it. But exhort... You can write it down. But exhort one another daily.
3:14?
Yeah. Hebrews 3:13. It's 13, 3:13. 13. It goes on, of course, but yeah. It says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin, of course, is going to drag us down, right? Sure it is. Any kind of something that is against the Lord's will, against the Lord's commandments, against whatever the Lord directs in your life, that's going to be sin, and it's going to drag you down. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 1:4, it says, 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, chapter, yeah. It says, God comforts us in all of our tribulations that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. The fascinating word, exhort, comes from the Greek parakaleo. In the text is somewhere translated comfort, beseeching, literally means calling alongside. Parakaleo. That's the Holy Spirit, our comforter. Jesus said, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from Yahweh, he shall testify of me. That's in John. You know John. This Holy Spirit and this Parakalit, this Comforter, this Exhorter. So that's what we... Thus, a Christian who is called alongside to comfort a sorrowing friend, to beseech a person to do right, or to exhort him to a useful action, all in the name of Christ, as in performing the same type of service on the human level that the Holy Spirit himself performs on the divine level. See, the Holy Spirit's working the divine, we're working the practical, the person-to-person kind of thing. So that's why it's important. I have got several scriptures about exhorting, and we could go on. But we don't have time. If you guys are interested, the 2 Corinthians 1:4. This is all about exhorting one another. And these are examples throughout the New Testament. John 15:26. 2 Thessalonians, where there's 3:12 and chapter 2:11. Romans is full of it. Romans 12:8 is a good one. Lana, could you look up that 12:8? Jennifer, Acts 15:32. Ray, do you have your Bible there, brother? Greetings, Ray. In Titus, there's several references in Titus. If you want to look up that Titus 1, chapter 1, 9, Ray. Titus 1, 9. See, 1 Timothy's got two or three of them. But go ahead and read those, guys, whenever you find them. Go ahead, Lana, did you come up with that one?
Romans 12:8.
What do you find? What do you see?
He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness.
Yes. Those are the kind of people the Lord wants to perform, to go ahead and do your thing out there. We don't have to wait for somebody to tell us to do this. The Holy Spirit will give us a little nudge. We know how it is. When we have our little tete-a-tetes, our little associations with folks, there's things, you know, that we can say to them that are going to be, that can be critical in their decision, whatever they're doing. Lana, what do you find there in that Romans 12:8? Did you read that?
Yes, I did.
Read that again. Read that again, because that's good.
He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness.
Okay. Leah, what did I give you one?
No.
Okay. Jennifer, what was that? That Acts.
It's Acts 15, but what verse is it?
32. 15:30, but look around 32, somewhere in that vicinity.
Well, in 32 it says, and Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them.
Okay. You can just look through the book of Acts. I mean, there's constant reference to exhortation, to encouragement, to, you know, that's the Acts of the Apostles. It's church history. The book of Acts. What did you find, Porphy? Did I give you one?
No, you didn't give me
one. Oh, I didn't give you one. Who else did I give?
Ray.
Titus.
Titus 1, you said?
Yeah, Titus 1 and verse 9. There's something around there that talks about exhortation.
Verse 9, find it here. It's got a different line. Okay. He must have a strong and steadfast belief in the trustworthy message he was taught. Then he will be able to encourage others with the right teachings and show those who oppose it why they are wrong.
Fantastic. Look up, stay there. Look, go over to chapter 2, Ray. Chapter 2 and 15. This is why we grasp. We have got to hold on. We hold on and we've got to know the right message, though. We've got to know the way, the Lord's will. Whatever He doesn't want us talking a lot of trash. He doesn't want us telling somebody to go off on a wild goose chase. He's got practical, solid, spiritual things for us to know and to give away to help out with somebody else. Yes, Lana.
Well, I know in teaching at the Christian school, I used to use this one verse in Romans 12:17.
Yes. Yes.
Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. So I would, some kids would get bumped or hurt or something, and he'd want to go get even. And I said, no, you're not supposed to repay evil for evil.
That's right.
And so
that's right.
Get it in their mind that just because, you know, you'd only keep making something worse as you carry it on and on. Someone has to be the stopper, you know, so you don't repay evil for evil.
A kind word will quell a fight or a adversity, kind of, you know, adversarial kind of situation when you're up against something. Sure, you can battle back and forth. You can get into this big debate and you can, you know, it won't do you any good. Both of you will go away with your own idea, and you won't be changed a single bit.
I know.
Ray, what's in? What do you find there in that 2? Did you look up chapter 2?
She was going to say a question.
Well, I can't fight with Bill because he just doesn't talk back. He doesn't fight back. He just sits there. And then finally, I just run out of steam and walk off.
He's not fair.
Yeah, I know.
He doesn't fight fair.
Looking for a gift.
He doesn't fight fair.
What does it say? 2:15, right?
2:15 it says, okay, you must teach these things and encourage your people to do them, correcting them when necessary. You must have the authority to do this. It's authority. So don't let anyone ignore you or disregard what you say.
If you have the authority, and where is the authority?
God.
Yeah, it's right here, isn't it? It's in the Word. It's coming right down from the Father. Now, we talked about that business about not bad-mouthing or not. Listen to this. This is a little thing about, everybody look up Proverbs. Proverbs 15. It's a beautiful scripture.
What verse?
15:2. This scripture and several others are going to teach us that it's more important to guard what comes out of our mouth. Oh, we got to be careful. We can hurt people. We can promote a whole lot of dissension. We can follow along and we can be tools of Satan when we constantly badmouth somebody or talk something negative. Well, somebody read me Proverbs 15:2. Who's got it? Mark?
The tongue of the wise treats knowledge correctly, but the mouth of the fool spouts out folly.
Folly and foolishness. The mouth of fools. There's a lot of that out there, guys. You're going to get it all the time. That's why we want to learn what is in this word. Because we can tell whether it's good or bad. The writer of Proverbs 15 said that the mouth of fools pour forth foolishness. The word translated pours forth literally means explodes out. In other words, if we get real cantankerous, accusations, angry words, verbal abuse, all of those guys are going to do somebody harm. Okay, look up, Alana, Ephesians 4:29. The Apostle Paul's talking there. Start with verse 24. Ephesians 4, starting with verse 25 and going through verse 31, if you want to write this down, guys. Ephesians 4, starting 25, going through 31. Get it, Lila?
Yeah. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers.
Go through 31.
And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
There you go.
And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.
In other words, guys, no character assassination. You hear it, I mean, you're going to hear it, especially when we get into this political baloney that we have to put up with. We've still got a whole year of it, guys, to go through here. Remember, what comes out of your mouth, people are going to, they're going to hear you. They're going to remember. They're going to remember whether it's encouraging, whether it's discouraging. Let's make our remarks wholesome and uplifting. Let's talk how if you were to meet Jesus and you had a question and you didn't know for sure what to say, and you think to yourself, what would Jesus, what's he thinking about? What would he be thinking about? We guard carefully what goes into our mouth. You know, we know that we have to watch our eating habits, and rightly so. To honor God, let's also keep tight control on the words that come out of our mouth.
Yeah, I'd like to make it, because you mentioned it before, earlier. Kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Kindness. That's what it really seems like, you know. Kindness always comes from your heart. And it seems like your heart is attached, to the power and the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I determine.
That's right. Those people that talk a trash, they've got an evil heart. They've got a sick heart. And that's why we've got to keep our heart. We've got to protect our heart. What else did you have to say on that? Is there anything else that you... Is that your thought there?
Oh.
Did I interrupt you?
Well, yeah, earlier, it came to my mind. I'm not a Bible thumper, but I've always... amazed by myself. Sometimes I get in a conversation about the Lord with someone. I don't know why. It's just like I have to and everything. And it never seems to go bad. And I surprise myself. And I think that is the grace, of the Lord. And I'm sure there's scripture to back it up, to be not afraid of
offending.
What would be the right word? Explaining the Lord to people.
That's our best.
You know, at will. Just sometimes, and I surprise myself why I do this. But I think it's directed by the Lord. It has to be.
That's a gift.
Huh?
It's a gift. It's a gift of the Lord. The Lord will give us the words to say. But we've got to stop and think. We've got to be careful. Because things explode out of our mouth. Like this said here, pours forth out of our mouth. And that's where we get into trouble. If we don't first say, hey, wait a minute. Yeah. What would the Lord say about this? What does the Lord What would he honor? You know, that kind of thing. Does anybody else have any comment about this whole deal? I know we went over a little bit. Yeah. But I think it's so important. And I'm hoping that everybody got an idea as to what we should be doing, what our purpose should be. And I thank the Lord for his gift that he gives us gifts and talents. Each one of us is different. Each one of us is going to associate with a different type of people. We have a man that is a salesman, and he is going to be, you know, he has probably a lot of challenges. And we have people that are dealing with the public in other respects, and that all those things always come up. But we don't have to be afraid, but we've got to be careful what we say, how we respond to folks. And but Jesus will supply. Yeshua will supply us through the Holy Spirit with what the thing to say, the proper thing to say. It comes out of the heart. And if we've got this word in our heart, then that's what's going to come out. And that's my last word.
The end of the story.
Yes.
I think what Blue said, you know, about he surprises himself. I know that if you read the Bible, and there's a lot of guys who were prophets who couldn't speak. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the gift of speaking, but the Lord called on them, and they said, well why me? I don't know how to speak. He says, I will give you the speak.
That's right. He'll give you the word.
Yeah, if you have it in your heart, that's why it comes out.
Mm-hmm. And something came to me this evening also. I've been meditating in a lot, and it came to me, you know, as a principal, you know, in the AA program, happy, joyous, and free. And now, tonight, I see that is the greatest gift of the Lord that we can receive, is to be happy, joyous, and free. What
freedom from the bondage of sin.
That's it.
You got it. And I thank you for your comments and that. I think we'll close then. Let's hold grab our partner's hands here. Porphy, would you close us tonight with prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, Yahweh, thank you for this meeting. We appreciate everything you have done for us, and we're walking on your ways, not one foot here and one foot in the world and one foot in the world of Fletcher. Mm-hmm. You can have both. You have to have steady feet, and you have to plant it on the road to goodness and the road to faith.
That's right.
Or else, there's no way. I mean, you have to continue the word of the Yahweh and mm-hmm. and tell others about Yahweh if they're willing to listen, and about Yeshua, and may Yahweh bless you all that are here tonight mm-hmm. and keep you safe always. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you.